People empower power. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with the instant inspiration. People empower power. That's a strange thing. We usually think of things that empower people and governments that empower people and so forth, but we have a statement that you have all thought about and heard quite often, and it says, "There now is peace on earth, and it began with me." So, when I become peaceful, my little tiny world about me becomes peaceful. When I become relaxed, my little world becomes relaxed. And my little world gets bigger and bigger and bigger by wherever my thoughts are. And when my thoughts are by the city government, then the city government becomes peacefuler and peacefuler and peaceful. And when I think about anything else, it becomes peaceful too. If I think about the legislators in Congress in Washington, and they're facing many interesting issues that they create for themselves, and they're sort of upset about it, who's going to back who and who's going to support who. And I just see them peacefully doing the will of the people. Oh, well, if we did the will of the people, they say, then we'd really have a mess. Well, it's the government of the people, by the people, for the people. They're supposed to be doing the will of the people. They're not hired there to do their own will. Yes, they're hired, because they have the genius to take the desires of the people and manifest those desires. And how do they manifest those desires? Well, they tell people, if you like this idea, send a letter to your congressmen or your senators and what have you and support it. Send a letter and tell them that you think it's a great idea. Send a letter and inform everybody in the legislative process from county, city, county, state, and nation of what, and United Nations too, of your desire. And as you do that, you empower the power to be. So many times, as the statement is made and laughed at very seriously, that's the last straw. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Now you say, well, surely one straw isn't going to do it. No, but if you have 100,000 straws, and the 101,000th straw is the one that gets too heavy, it'll break his back. He can hold just so much, and then when you exceed that limit by any amount, he goes down. Now you say, exponentially he would go down slowly, but that's not the point. The issue is that one little point makes a difference. As they like to tell voters, one little vote makes a difference. I repeat this story often about the Continental Congress. They wanted to have metric system, and Washington said, install the metric system in the United States now. He didn't call it the United States then, but install it. And then they had a vote on what language was going to be the language of the United States. And there were a lot of Germans there and a lot of Englishmen there, and there were Polacks there, and there were people from many other countries. But basically, the English and the Germans were predominant. So, by one vote, English was chosen as a language for the United States. You see, there one little vote made the difference in how America spoke. Now, could you imagine America speaking German?
No.
And being the land of freedom speaking German?
Yeah.
My goodness, it would be most interesting. It would be most interesting. Do you think we would have had good relationships with England? Maybe. You think we would have had good relationships with Germany?
Yeah.
Sure. You always have good relationships with people that you speak their language. When we go to Mexico, if we spoke Mexican, we would be very much at home. And we could order our food and say what we want, and we'd understand what they're saying too, and how they sometimes laugh because we're so silly. And you too laugh when you're in Germany, or when you hear a person speaking German, trying to speak German, and not doing too well, and you know he's trying, so you try to hide your snicker, but nonetheless, what he's saying is almost ludicrous, you know. So we don't know that our one little vote, our one little word, our one little thought is going to be the straw that didn't break the camel's back. Because with computers nowadays, with contaminators, we should be able to figure that out. How much weight can a camel carry if a camel carried only straw? And does each grain of straw or each stick of straw have a certain amount of weight? And would the weight of one straw cause the camel to cave in, you know? Well, I am sure. I am sure someone has figured this out. We, you know, in the book of, what do you call it?
Almanac.
Is it like the almanac, but in a book of unusual facts? Well, the book of unusual facts has all these things, and they tell about the people who
Guinness Book of Records.
The Guinness Book of Records, and they tell of people who've done amazing things, and people who've lifted tremendous weights, and people who have done all sorts of other. And how many people will fit in a Volkswagen? Depending upon the size of the people, of course, but they fit a lot of people in the Volkswagen. And then another one, you know the other one?
Baby.
How many people fit into a telephone booth? Mm. How many people could jam into a telephone booth? Now that would be really something. I mean, that's kind of tight. And that's in the Guinness Book of Records too, as of the time that they did it. Mm. Now, I would say it's a lot easier now because the telephone booths no longer have boundaries, most of them. They're boundaryless. It's like the whole airport. And so you just pow, pow, pow. And that's not really an adequate saying. But people empower power. By the very things we think about, we put power on those things. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's a power that we have. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That's the power that we have. And the power that we have, as I walk the path in the morning, I live in my ideal, spirit, mind, and body. And I thought, well, what if some people didn't know what the word ideal means? Wouldn't make any difference. The word itself still tells the truth. The word itself still says it. Now, do you know what I means? No, you don't. You think it means you, but it means anybody who says it. Do you know what I live? Do you know what live means? You don't even begin to know what live means. Live means that you're not dead. Well, now, that's not a proper definition. Mm-hmm. You cannot define a thing by its opposite, and death is not the opposite of life, mm-hmm. Thank goodness. Death is just a cruise along the way, where we don't see one another because we don't want to. Could you see a person who has died?
I would love to.
I said, could you see a person who has died?
Yes.
She would love to, but she doesn't believe it. Now, of course, if she doesn't believe it, she's not going to do it. And she's not going to do it because she doesn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So she's not going to search out a person who's died. I don't know who you want to see who's died, but do you want to see them now after they're laid in the grave all this time and are all decayed? Or do you want to or do you want to see them living on another dimension where they are wherever doing what they're doing?
Right.
You know? Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
Well, they still exist how they were.
Why?
Because the
because you say so.
Yeah.
That's enough. Because you say so.
No, because life is eternal.
Yes, but how is life eternal? What kind of eternal life are you empowered? In any way what? In any way you think about it, life is eternal. You see, it's not what you want. Because if you want something, it's not there, it doesn't exist in your mind, you know. Mm. But if you want to have a happy home, if you want to have a peaceful world, if you want to do whatever, you don't have it. But the moment you say, I now have my perfect car, I now have my perfect wife or husband, you know. I now, and you see, when you have it, then you visualize yourself enjoying it. And when you visualize yourself enjoying it, you are empowering the power to manifest. You're empowering the power to manifest.
Okay.
Now, you see, the Bible in Jesus' time said that if somebody did something bad, the rocks would speak out against him. The hills would rise up against him. The world, the inanimate world, so to speak, would not tolerate any deception or anything incorrect. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that the hills have a voice? That the rocks can speak? That they are able to enunciate things? And before you say yes or no, think of this. What do you think? And if you were to say no, which you couldn't do, but if you were to say no, then you would say that the one essay question, how does a stone speak to you? Well, you would have to realize that was foolish. But now, was it foolish?
No.
Not at all. Did a stone actually relate to you, its environment, its world? Yeah. Now, in that light, when unhappiness takes place in a given church, building, house, environment of any kind, does it affect that environment?
Mm.
Yeah. When happiness takes place, does it affect that environment?
Mm.
No. How do we empower a power to be master of that environment that something else was not a pleasant experience? How do we empower it? What do we say? What do we do? What do we think? Do we say, I surround this building, this rock, this place with my pure white light of love, and all is peace and solitude, all is right action now? Or do we say, I dissolve this attitude, this experience, and it never happened. I invest this with a spiritual healing. And you say, hmm? Yeah, yeah. But you see, the more you do that, the more you invest it with a spiritual healing, then the more you come up with something really terrific for yourself. Because you have the power to invest anything you want with anything you want. You have the power to invest your relationship with happiness. You have the power to invest your son with wisdom. You have the power to invest your daughter with the purest love. You say, well, what does she got to have pure love about? She's got pure love. Hey, that's great. I'm glad you see it. I'm glad you know it. But you see, we have the ability to empower power to be anywhere we want in our world. And I have dealt with out-of-body experiences. I have dealt with ghosts, and I've dealt with people who...
Entities,
yeah. I have dealt with all these various things from a scientific point of view at the UCLA and other universities where we were working on this paranormal activity, and it's kind of fascinating. But it all came back. He who wanted to see it saw it. He who didn't want to see it would never admit seeing it because he says it doesn't exist. So when I was at these paranormal programs, the people were very cooperative, you might say. They wanted to see the things that took place. When I was at the first International Congress of Parapsychology and Paratonology in Prague, Czechoslovakia, at that time, the people wanted to see it. And they were all scientists there trying to disprove it. There were a couple who stayed with their books and to disprove it, but they didn't believe themselves. They didn't believe themselves, and they gave a very weak disapproval because they did see it happening. But if they were known as a scientist who disagreed and disapproved, and then all of a sudden they see the light and they start approving, they're going to have to build up a new reputation. And people say, well, you said before. Well, now, why isn't it like you said before? Why isn't it? You see, you're empowering something that you got to live with. So now, the scientist realizes that these paranormal things are quite normal. And so he says, I empower the world to recognize my ability to see the paranormal. See? I empower the world to recognize that I can see the paranormal. Before, he empowered the world to see that he couldn't see it. Because he said that it didn't exist. He said it was poppycock and all that sort of good stuff. And that's silly. But you see, you have to eat your words. So that's why he would make a statement like that. He sees the world seeing that the paranormal is quite normal. And seeing that he can see it. Now, how many of you have known of people from outer space? How many of you met E.T., you know? And how many of you would like to meet E.T.? How many of you would like to be invited to go on a spaceship from some other culture, some other land? You know, everybody who gets on these spaceships, they have to be investigated sexually, they have to be investigated mentally, they have to be investigated in all these ways. And I would say that's a lot of nonsense. That's just their personal hang-ups, you know. Anything, and I don't mean it's nonsense, anything that you have a hang-up on, that's what you're going to experience. When you get picked up by an alien and go aboard their spacecraft, and if you're scared silly about it, they're going to give you a reason to be scared silly. If you are balanced and peaceful, like you are with your pet, they're going to be balanced and peaceful with you. If you feel that they're going to reward you with great abilities to make money, then you will have it.
Oh,
let go. Yeah, yeah. But you'll come back, and you'll probably write a book, and it'll be famous, you know. Or, you remember Saint Germain?
Yeah. Oh yes.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Well, Saint Germain is a joke, you know. It's just fiction. But when Saint Germain would run out of money, he'd just go back in his house. Now he could have demonstrated money, but the thing is, money has serial numbers on it, you know, and he didn't want to play that. So he just took a piece of dirt and pushed it through his hand, you know, not through his hand, you know, compressed it so that it turned into diamonds, already cut diamonds. And he had many beautiful diamonds, and he took them out to the jeweler, and the jeweler says, where are you coming up with these things, you know? I've never seen them before. They're rare and beautiful. And he says, oh, I have a bag of them at home. But you shouldn't tell people that. Somebody might rob you. So he would take them and get money, and then he would live in a world that needed money. But other people, unlike Saint Germain, they go places and they say, thank you, and they leave. And they take away a new Jaguar. They take away a new Mercedes. They take away their dinner. Thank you. That's all they say. And it's paid for. Now, who saw it being paid for? Who saw it being fulfilled? Who saw the Jaguar being paid for? Who saw the Mercedes being paid for? Who saw the meal being paid for? It doesn't matter, does it? As long as the records show that it's paid.
That's right.
Now, this is where you are. This is where you are. You have everything you could want in life. And all you have to do is just go and claim it and enjoy it, and it's already paid for. Yes, it's already paid for. Yeah, I think that if you realized it was already paid for, you'd make it a little bit nicer. But Ellen, stop and think about this, Ellen. If you think it's already paid for, you would go back at the time it was originally built and have it be originally built properly. Originally built, when the modular home here was built in the factory, you would have a lovely patio room out there. You would have a lovely golden room attached and other rooms attached. And it would be already done. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It would be already perfectly justified, perfectly organized, perfectly suited to itself. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, yeah, but I didn't. Well, Ellen, do you have the power to empower spiritual healing?
Yes.
If you have the power to empower spiritual healing, then you have the power to create in the beginning exactly what you want. This house could appear here, or whatever house that you like, in whatever disguise it has, whatever it looks like, completely furnished with whatever you think it should have, finished, and the county would have a record of it,
mm-hmm.
perfectly accepted, and whenever anything needed to be changed or fixed on it, of course nothing would, with a snap of your finger, it'd be spiritually healed. No. You are spiritually healed when you are able to dream your wildest dream, to live in the absolute nature of yourself, to be as crazy and outstanding and wonderful as you possibly can be, you know, in whatever area you want. And when you do, then you're going to look around you and you're going to say, oh, they had a spiritual healing. I didn't even know. You're going to see that everybody's having spiritual healings. And you, because you're a super master, you, because you're God, can look at all of these taking place. And you don't remember that they didn't have it, but you know they have it, and you know that they had it. Now, what they had it from, that doesn't matter. You might be healed from cancer, you might be healed from poverty, you might be healed from bad relationships, you might be healed from whatever a thousand things may be, you know, DNA, various reasons for your birth being not as perfect as you want it to be and stuff. And it's done. And no one would ever know that you had it. So therefore, you'd get no credit in having the healing experience. And I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea. So think on these things. People empower power. And you are people. And you empower power. Now, what are you going to empower power with? The truth or the fiction?
It was the truth.
Go for it. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.